ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody.
Hi there.
Congress is a complete, ineffectual, douchey mess.
They got the VA bill done.
Oh, good.
And it's now on President Obama's desk.
And the Israeli-Palestinian truce has fallen apart already. Okay. Happy Friday. You know what I'm going to do, Chris? I'm going to fly to Washington after the show, and I'm going to knock some heads.
Yep. You're flying to the cesspool on the Potomac.
Yes, I am. Technically, I'm going to see friends. However, I think I will knock some heads together.
Oh, look!
How about this headline? GOP tells Obama to ignore Congress one day after suing him for ignoring Congress.
Yep.
That's your democracy at work, ladies and gentlemen. What? This is seriously the worst Congress ever, this Republican Congress. So they, Boehner's own, obviously lost control of his own caucus again.
Yep.
Because of Ted Cruz meddling, as usual.
Ted Cruz from the Senate meddling in the House. How did Boehner let someone from the Senate meddle in the House?
So the day after they sue the president for enacting a law, they say on whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, they want him to go ahead and act on his own on the border. Okay, that is spectacular. Spectacular. Okay, and so last night the headline was that there was a truce.
Yep, a 72-hour truce.
U.S. and the U.N. Announced a deal on 72 hours. How long did that last?
It lasted about 3 or 4 hours.
Okay, all right. Time for our hate mail stack. Are you ready?
Oh, God, really?
Yes.
Do we have to?
Yes, because wasn't it just yesterday the listener broke up with me because, what was I yesterday? Oh, I was a Hamas terrorist sympathizer.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but I was quoting Jonathan Chait's piece. He's obviously Israel's making it hard to be pro-Israel. That piece.
He's a Jehu.
Yes, and a liberal. And anyway, yes. I was just saying this is a difficult issue for everybody. But anyway, so I assumed that I was, but apparently now I am, and you are Zionist puppets.
I'm a Zion. Whoa, that's the first. Whoa, no.
Thomas writes. Hey, Stephanie, neither you or your staff, Obama, or the USA are honest brokers. All of you are lying gatekeepers and Zionist puppets. Okay.
Well, my email has been trending more towards I'm a Palestinian puppet.
We can't even agree on what we're arguing over anymore. This has become exactly like the Middle East, except we can't. Courtney... writes about Israel. First of all, she misspelled it in the subject line, so... Okay. I'm gone from your show as well. Because someone else broke up with me yesterday for being a Hamas terrorist sympathizer.
Sure.
And now that guy broke up with us because we are Zionist puppets.
Thugs.
No, puppets.
Puppets.
This one gets a little personal.
Oh.
Courtney says, I'm gone from your show as well. Can't stand your one-sided view on the Gaza issue. And see, right away, I don't even know which... I'm like, okay... I'm not sure which because I've been called.
We've been very careful to say both sides are.
So I read further.
All right.
Think long and hard about who the terrorists are. I think I know who signs your paycheck, so you must fall in line with the dumb.
No. Okay. Should we get the guy who owns the show who's trying to kill you for life insurance money on the horn?
Who, by the way, in 10 years, I've never, ever had any conversation about Israel. I have no idea what his views even are, but okay. And by the way, he doesn't own the show. We co-own it, just so you know. So he's not really my boss, but okay. Wow, okay. Oh, I see. So that's why I'm clearly a Zionist puppet. Okay. Except on the days when I am a
Hamas terrorist sympathizer.
Right.
Yep.
Paula has some thoughts.
Oh, great.
She's a helper. She's a liberal helper like us. Steph, it's a subject about how to talk about Israel and Palestine. Hey, kids, my mom is a brilliant child psychologist, and
whenever her
own children had a conflict, she would have us change the names of what we were fighting over to happy fun names in order to lighten the conversation. Taking her lead, I suggest we now call Israel Lollipop Land, and Palestine shall be known hereforth as Jelly Bean Junction. It will make it harder for people to feel resentment when you use alternative names with cheerful overtones, and it also becomes more abstract. And if that doesn't work and people still write hate letters, then give them a timeout. You're welcome, Paula.
I doubt the people of Gaza City feel like they're living in Jelly Bean Junction.
Don't talk that way about Lollipop Land. Oh, dear. Okay. I sense I will get more.
Of course
letters.
You will.
I'm giving everybody a preemptive timeout. Because I know I can feel you writing right now. See? You're making Max itch. I hope you're happy, America. Okay.
Are you okay?
All right. And some listener comedy from Chris in Yankton about listeners only hearing what they want. Again, it depends on... I said the only remedy is everyone in America has to listen all 3 hours every day.
But even then, people only hear what they want to hear.
Right. That's Chris's point. Guys, regarding listeners tuning in for a short time and only hearing part of what you're talking about, I try to listen to all 3 hours every day, and I still only hear what I want to hear. So there, harumph, steps up on soapbox, clears throat with dramatic self-importance.
Yeah.
Because your show does not read my mind and tell me exactly what I want to hear, I can no longer continue listening. My personal viewpoint is the only correct one on insert issue here, and I cannot tolerate you saying anything that disagrees with it, even if you didn't say it, or if you said something else. Whatever. It's your problem, not mine. After laying out this complaint in the strongest possible terms, trademark, I hope you will mend your ways and tailor all future programming to tell me exactly what I want to hear. Thank you. Steps down off soapbox, wobbles unsteadily to fainting couch, collapses. Okay, and let's see. Thank you.
That about
was,
sums it up.
That was a listener comment.
Sums it up.
Chris wrote a little skit for us.
Aw. Chris in Yankton is good.
He's a precious pumpkin. Okay. So, all right. Back to Lollipop Land. And where is the Jelly Bean?
Jelly Bean Junction. Gaza, you know, being Jelly Bean Junction.
Let's hold off on that for a minute while we some happy clappy news. U.S. Representative Eric Cantor, bitch face, bye-bye. Bye-bye, bitch face.
Oh, is he gone?
He will resign his seat months earlier than expected. Oh, don't go away mad.
Oh, he's a quitter, just like Sarah Palin.
Trouble in Montauk? I'm sorry, but I had to unshutter the Montauk house late, and I really want to get maximum time there antiquing. I'm just making that up. Is that why it was?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported early Friday that Cantor will step down August 18th to make sure constituents have a voice during the consequential lame duck session. Aw, don't go away mad, bitch. And thanks.
Thanks for the douchiness of losing that last race. They put you in your place. You'll have to go to Montauk and put on your best bitch face. How smucky, I want to tell you, you were.
Yay!
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Rocky Mountain Mike is actually traveling, as is Sue in Rockville.
Yeah.
And he said the chat room is a virtual lawless wasteland right now.
Oh, really?
Because there's no sheriffs in town.
Yeah, they were the two.
Right.
The two moderators. Oh,
right.
Dear.
So get in there. Mix it up, kids. Just saying. All right. Oh, look. Sue in Rockville on vacation and still calling in. Hello, Sue.
Good morning. Listen, I don't care about the Middle East. I don't care about the Ukraine. I care about the fact that some caller threw me under the bus yesterday.
Oh.
It was my name.
That's right. Somebody was mourning the loss of Billy from Texas.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't have all Sues from Rockville calling. And I'm like, we don't. We have a guy just the other day that threatened to hang me from a tree.
Listen, to compare me to Billy from Texas, I have some words for that guy, but I don't want to get dumped, so I won't say that.
You wouldn't be the first person to get dumped this
Aren't you actually traveling as we speak?
I am traveling as of Sunday, and so please hold down the fort. He won't have to suffer for a little bit from me. But Chris, will you please flex your guns for that guy and just tell him if he says anything bad about me again? Because all that really matters. See, I'm like a Republican. Me.
All right, honey. I'm coming to D.C. today, so I'll see you in the airport on your way out. I'll see you Sunday in the airport.
I'll meet you at right. Starbucks. They have a few.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll see you. Yeah. Which
you think?
The one Starbucks. Okay. Thanks, honey.
Bye.
All right, bye. Victoria in Sacramento. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Victoria.
Oh, happy Friday, m'lady. Happy Friday, Chris.
Hello.
Don't make me cry.
Hey, I won't do it. Okay. Hey, listen, remind me not to mess with Sue. Ooh.
Yeah, right?
Ouch.
Right.
Listen, I'm breaking up with you also because I'm sick of you being a dog puppet. You just favor dogs. I hate that. What about the cats? What about the cats?
That's why he is a cat man. Jim Ward, a cat man.
Cat man.
See, we have balance in all things here.
All right, maybe I won't break up with
all right,
you.
All right, fine. All right, give me another chance. All right, love you. Makeup sex. All right.
I have the cutest tuxedo kitty ever.
Whatever.
Oh, please. Right. Like, you don't talk to Max and Fred that way with their rubber gorilla lips.
Because don't they have a rubber gorilla lips? I make them go row, row, row. I'm having a breakdown. I think it's this Middle East thing. I got a lot going on in my life. Whee! Okay. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Journalist extraordinaire Mei Li in our number three. Yes, we've just adopted her mother's sound of disgust for every story in the news now. Congress, Middle East, it works for everything, doesn't it? Go ahead, do it. That's our little Mei in a box until she gets here live. Oh, by the way, also, we have friend of Jackie Schechner, Anthony Wright, who is executive director for Health Access California.
Yep.
Because, by the way, Jackie was all over Twitter yesterday. We wanted to issue a correction because a lady called in and we weren't sure what she was talking about, but she was correct, and I'm glad that a bunch of people jumped on Facebook and Twitter, as did Jackie, because I think we weren't sure what she was talking about. She was in Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah, where Kasich, refused the Medicaid expansion. So anyway, James, among other people, wrote, it is true, Ms. Miller, I live in Wisconsin, where Governor Scott Walker has refused Medicaid expansion. Our law provides for the state to take my estate. Somebody else explained it. Mm-hmm. Marcia writes, in Washington State, if you are on Medicaid and have no liquid assets but own a home, Medicaid will pay your nursing home or home health, doctor visits, etc. But when you die, your home will be sold to repay the debts.
Oh my God!
Occurred. John said this is what she's talking about. 1993 federal law requires states to recover Medicaid costs for long-term care from the estates of deceased Medicaid beneficiaries over the age of 55. That's from factcheck.org. Hmm. So we apologize. We weren't sure what she was talking about or what it was related to, but that's what it's related to. So anyway, but we will talk to Anthony about this next hour because he is an expert. By the way, and he has some very, very good news.
Yes, he does.
Some very good Obamacare-related news. All right, we could use a little dollop of that.
A little bit.
Stuart in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stuart.
Unbelievable. I've been waiting for only 5 minutes.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
I like you guys.
Thanks.
Can I be the official landscape architect and black landscape architect of Stephanie Miller?
Ooh, we needed one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One.
Thank you. We would like some garden gnomes in here, if you don't mind.
Okay, cool. You know, the biggest threat against Israel is not Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran. It's education. The people I talk to the office are incredibly ignorant about the whole history of that area. If you made the whole thing generic, call Israel somebody else, Palestine somebody else, made up Christian Islam and Judaism, make up some religions, everybody would be pro-Palestinian. They would lean to Palestine. If you look at generic terms, they'd be pro-Palestinian.
Why?
The guy yesterday who made an analogy about somebody squatting into his house and showing a book and saying, God says this is my land, made perfect sense to me. And if people look at generic terms, you'd be pro-Palestinian.
Okay. If we
I followed him yesterday too. I don't know why you didn't.
Yeah, no, I mean I followed what he was saying. I think this is what, you know, somebody, well, the woman that broke up with me yesterday for being a Hamas terrorist sympathizer.
Yes. Yeah.
Because she said I can't remember what I lost the point entirely. Why did she break up with me again? I can't remember. Because she was saying, she said, I wish more of my liberal lefty friends would get over their instinct to be for the underdog. Meaning the Palestinians, you know, because obviously Hamas is not blameless in this. But anyway.
Absolutely.
All right. See, I got it back. See, you know what happened? Peggy Noonan's Chardonnay Canaries. They went and got it for me. Sometimes my thoughts, there we go. Comes right back. Christine in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Good morning, m'lady.
Good morning.
Good morning, Moose.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
You were talking about K6 Ohio. Yes. I don't want to get dumped. and the lady that called in yesterday about Medicare, Medicaid.
Right.
Well, real quick story. My mother had Medicare, Medicaid. The bank foreclosed on her house, and my mother was in a nursing home for X amount of years. And then I got the bill for nearly $500,000.
Oh.
So the state of Ohio kept sending me the bill. My name wasn't on the title of the house. I had nothing to do with the house. The bank had already owned the house.
Oh, my God.
And the state was trying to get nearly $500,000 from me, which it's pocket change, really. And I should have probably sent it to him, but I didn't, just to be a B word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
wow.
You know, I got plenty of money, and you know the state probably knew that, and they just kept sending me a bill for $500,000.
Oh,
wow,
my God.
Laughable.
Well, if you have plenty of money, let's get some something more important. I certainly hope you're getting the Stephcast for only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Oh, no.
You are a bitch. All right.
I have Free Speech TV.
All right,
and
fine.
I love watching.
Oh,
right.
Thank you.
In fact, I really love watching Chris Vetter.
Right. That's the only thing free in Free Speech TV, my friend, but okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Christine. There's no such thing as free lunch.
Did you hear her? She said she really likes watching me.
Whatever. okay, Michelle in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi, Chris, you have a really great laugh. I wanted to mention that.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to. I just wondered if you missed the days when you were just simply a race traitor instead of Hamas Zionist.
Right.
Or whatever.
Remember the days when I was just a race traitor? Exactly.
I know, things were so simple then, weren't they?
Yeah, a simpler time. Oh well.
Oh yeah.
All right, thank you, honey. Oh, that was it. She was. That was. It was short, but it was. You know.
Black coat.
You're a race traitor. It was just me. It was Jim, too.
Have you noticed that? Exactly. This is your main job, Mookage. Never to defend me. You always just pile on. That's your main job. Let's just pile on.
We're just like you against Hamas.
Treacherous.
You do nothing but pile on to Palestine.
Bastards, both of you. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Who hasn't made mistakes? I once French kissed a dog at a party to try to impress what turned out to be a very tall 12-year-old.
Right? Handsome rubber gorilla lip. You are very ill-behaved. Okay, it is.
I think you're cracking up.
Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller. Just a lot of stress going on in the world, Chris. Just everybody settle down, Captain Happy. All right, and I'm flying today, so God knows what could happen. Right?
Exactly.
What's going on in the air these days?
You may get in a fight with a Delta pilot.
Right, exactly. I may poo on a drink cart. Who knows? All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Journalist May Lee coming up in hour number three.
Mm-hmm.
By popular demand.
The people love her.
Yeah, The Twitterverse.
We got to give the people what they want.
Done gone mad for the Mei Li. Yeah, exactly. All right. Ted in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Ted.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
All right, well, I am going to try to qualify my statements as much as possible to keep your volume of Hamas sympathizer hate mail down.
Okay, but, awesome.
I hear a lot of people say, and I'm not an apologist for either side, but I hear a lot of people saying, you know, if the roles were reversed, you know, Hamas would wipe Israel off the map, then, you know, Israel is exercising a lot of restraint, and maybe they are exercising restraint. It's a very difficult situation, I acknowledge that, but I think saying if the roles were reversed, Hamas would wipe them off the map is not really a fair assessment of the situation. I mean, sure, if they woke up tomorrow and the roles were perfectly reversed, that's probably true, but their attitudes have been formed over a very long period of time. You know, Hamas is in a situation right now where the opportunities for people living in Gaza is inarguably much worse in terms of financial opportunities, freedom to move around. And so they have a real need to try to push the status quo to try to better the lives of people, not to say their taxes are acceptable. But Israel's in a situation where they have a lot of global support financially. Their people are much safer when there is a fight, relatively speaking. Mm. And so...
Sorry, I'm getting a fax from my Jew boss, apparently. yes, from Zionist Puppet Inc.
Yeah.
Here it is. Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, so I think that to look at that whole situation, Hamas's attitude is formed based on their reality. If the realities were reversed, they may very well have a different attitude. If Israel found themselves tomorrow with no other way out that they could perceive, they might very well change the number of rockets they were willing to shoot into Gaza.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you said it earlier. It really is like the abortion debate. You're not going to change anybody's mind.
No.
Why am I even talking?
Exactly.
Why are my lips moving? Why am I... And by the way, speaking of it being like that... Please stop sending me pictures of Palestinian children with half of their head missing. Yeah. We all understand the horror. I mean, it's just,
and
we understand
said,
the horrors of war.
And we've said that what's going on with the civilians in Palestine is terrible.
Oh, yes, someone sent me that. Oh, here's unimaginable restraint for you. I'm like, oh, dear God, okay. It really is. It's the abortion debate.
Both
have you ever seen the stuff you get emailed?
Both sides need to cool it.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mama. Let's talk about something a little more happy, like Medicaid and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
It is really troubling how much is taken away from people at the end stages of their life. You know, they have to have everything get liquidated. Everything is taken away after all their long, hard work. And these people also, our parents' age, if your mom is, like my dad and mom are, or my mom is, they refuse to go on the public dole, as they call it. That's a huge, enormous shame. My dad and mom put the family farm with a living trust. And so basically what that means is mom is no longer the actual owner of the farm. My sister, brother, and I are.
Right.
But the idea is she gets to stay there as long as possible. So we have to go out looking for loopholes, for ways to be able to keep what we've worked all of our life so hard for. Like my dad, before he died, had just worked his tail off. And we can somehow find a way not to tax enormous companies, organizations, who are paying like zero tax, but somehow some little Norwegian guy who worked his ass off is now going to have to go totally broke at the end of his life. It makes no sense to me. It's cruel. It's cruelty at its
Yeah. I listen, and I don't know if you heard me mention yesterday, Dave, but one of my best friend's mom is dying, and I was at the nursing home with her yesterday. And it's just, you know, all of it. And, you know, she's already dealing with that stuff. And it's, you know, as if that's not bad enough, the emotional part, you know. So all the other stuff on top of it is just, you're absolutely right.
Well, tell people, you know, pass this information on. I used to work for an employee assistance program that did a lot of folks who are dealing with their parents and these issues. Find yourself a lawyer with geriatric specialty. Find yourself a geriatric social worker. These folks know their stuff, and they know what's available to you for resources to get you through that. If you're just looking for a dummies book or something like that, you know, that may help, but it's not enough. You need a professional to walk you through what our governmental systems are, you know, our anti-people politicians have created for us.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of that is state by state. Like a state like Texas isn't.
It is.
You know, they're not going to have programs in place to, to help people navigate.
By the way, and that's what, you know, our guest Anthony is going to be talking about next hour is how well the Affordable Care Act is working here in California.
Right.
But
yeah.
because we embraced it and
exactly.
we, you know, did all the stuff that you're supposed to do. And that's, I am sad for people that live in those states. Let's get back to something we can all agree on.
Okay.
This Congress is a bunch of ineffective douche nozzles.
They are.
And I apologize to douche nozzles everywhere who do serve a purpose.
Well, sure.
Disposable as they may be. At least they serve a purpose for a short time, unlike this Republican Congress.
Some douche nozzles aren't disposable.
Okay. Just the headline says it all. GOP tells Obama to ignore Congress one day after suing him for ignoring Congress. On Wednesday, House Republicans sued President Obama for acting on his own without approval from Congress. On Thursday, House Republicans told President Obama he should act on his own to fix the border crisis. The messaging whiplash resulted from Speaker Boehner's failure to pass a Republican spending bill that would provide the money to help stem the child migrant crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border. In a statement following the decision to abruptly scrap a vote, which was torpedoed by other Republicans.
Yes.
There are numerous steps the president can and should be taking right now without the need for congressional action to secure our borders and ensure these children return swiftly and safely to their countries. Really? Really, Boehner? Yet that was the polar opposite message from the one Republicans delivered a day earlier when they voted to authorize a lawsuit against President Obama for, quote, bypassing the legislative process to create his own laws by executive fiat. Actually, just to review for all you don't know, okay, so they pushed him to delay the employer mandate.
Right.
So he said, oh, okay.
Computer says yes.
Oh, you finally want to work together on something to help maybe improve and, you know, fix the state laws with the Affordable Care Act as we move forward together in this great country. And then they pulled out the football and said, ha ha, now we're suing you for doing that.
Yep.
So he did delay it, and they said now they're suing him for delaying, for not enacting the Affordable Care Act, which they always said was spectacular and should be put into law even more quickly. They were polite chipmunks every step of the way. Could we help you? How might we help you?
Oh, no. You first.
Right.
Thank you.
Could we help enact it faster, please? We love it so much. I'm afraid I'm going to drown in my own sarcasm.
I think you are.
In a minute.
Yeah. You better be careful there.
I had a little extra carnation instant bitch this morning. His office put out a statement. Senator Reid agrees with House Republican leader's statement that President Obama has the authority to take steps on immigration reform on his own. He's glad Republicans have come around and hopes this means that they will drop their frivolous lawsuit against the president instead of continuing to waste the American people's time and money. Exactly.
Right.
Can you imagine? That's the only thing this Congress has gotten done is suing the president, which helps who?
And reforming the VA.
Okay.
At the very last second.
Thank you.
Okay.
Representative Louise Slaughter, Democrat of New York, said, I wonder if after today the president might want to sue the House of Representatives for malpractice.
Is that possible?
Representative Jim McGovern, a Democrat of Massachusetts, says, if we get the president to take executive action, are we going to sue him a second time? Oh, the Democrats having a little bit of fun. Oh, pathetic. Pathetic.
Yep.
Pat in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I'm one of those dreaded public service employees in Wisconsin.
Oh, no.
And I, an educator of all things.
Oh, God. How about that ruling yesterday? Yuck.
I was just going to talk about the ruling because now, you know, I have no right to anything. We cut all the money to schools, second most cuts in the nation under Walker, and now I can't assemble and I have no rights. So I didn't want you to miss that. And then there was another important ruling. It said that, our ID law is probably not legal, so let the Department of Motor Vehicles decide whether you have to have a birth certificate or not, or whether you have a right to vote. And I'm sure they'll do a great job of that.
Yeah.
And last but not least, in the news yesterday, a Catholic bishop in the diocese of Dane County I had written a letter that, you know, those gay people, their children shouldn't be allowed to be baptized, probably. And luckily, 20,000 people signed the petition and said, what, are you crazy?
Yeah.
So now he's having to clarify it. But can you imagine? That child obviously should not be saved because
right.
he wow.
has these wonderful parents. And I want to tell you, when I'm at work, I have a cat and a dog. I leave the radio on, and they catch me up every night when
I come. Oh, see, we can all just get along. And cats and dogs can live together.
They can.
All right. Thank you, honey, for that. Yeah, that was bad news.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's controversial 2011 law that severely limited collective bargaining for public
workers. I don't
workers
know that it was controversial.
Sparked massive protests, and that's where the Sexy Liberal Tour was born
yeah.
because of this. And drove the recall effort against Scott Walker was upheld by the state's highest court. Mm-hmm. The Madison Teachers Union issued a statement calling the ruling not only disappointing but morally bankrupt.
Yep.
The union referenced the harsh dissent written by Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, future mm-hmm. wife. That the ruling simply did not address the issues presented to the court, but reframes, dodges, and twisted the issues to enable their own desired outcome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Koch brothers, and your Koch-sucking friend, Scott Walker. Okay, got that on my craw. 46 minutes after the hour.
I'm feeling there's still a little bit left in your craw.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You don't get enough CNC Music Factory in your life.
No, you do not.
Hmm.
Okay. What are you going to do? I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut. By the way, as you know, I'm a Libra. I can't decide from day to day whether I am a Hamas terrorist sympathizer
right.
or a, what am I today? Oh, a Zionist puppet. However, and just yesterday, I said something bad about Russell Brand because he broke up with Katy Perry by text, and I thought that was kind of douchey.
Yes.
Now I like Russell Brand because he took on Sean Hannity. I can't stick with any one thing. And Jim and I previously said we just don't find him that funny.
I've never found him funny at all.
I don't think I get British humor.
Oh, I mean, some British humor I get. I mean,
I don't.
I love, you know, Abfab, of course.
Hmm. Piers Morgan? Didn't get it. Okay.
Well, Piers Morgan's not funny.
Right.
He's a journalist.
I just didn't get it in general. Okay.
I see. Okay. Benny Hill you think is funny, don't you?
No.
Really?
Okay, no. And what was the guy, that the really mean guy that hosted one of the awards?
Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was really mean. I just didn't. Okay. All right. Sorry. Now I'm going to get all kinds of British letters. I cannot get through a show.
They'll send it through post. They'll post it.
Listen, if one of Jim's the queen bits haven't pissed off the British,
well,
then I...
Yeah.
Russell Brand went after Sean Hannity on his web series, castigating him for his segment on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as only interested in shouting, pointing, and simplifying things.
Yes.
Oh, he's new to America. He said that Hannity does look a bit like the Ken doll from the Toy Story 3 film.
Yes.
He picks apart his interview with, I don't know, a guest that really only amounts to Hannity shouting at the guest for not immediately kowtowing to his pro-Israel stance. He does not, in fact, address the broader context, but repeatedly asks the guest what he would do if people were firing missiles into his neighborhood. The guest responds he's trying to answer Hannity's question if Hannity would stop asking it at him, to which Hannity replies, good luck.
Yeah.
Brand finishes, one definition of terrorism is using intimidation to achieve your goals. Who in that situation was behaving like a terrorist, using intimidation, bullying, being unreasonable? Sean Hannity. That's where the terrorism was coming from.
I know. Oh, and the day following Russell Brand's
yes.
rant,
right.
Sean Hannity had a 7-minute segment on Russell Brand with three people on his panel to criticize Russell Brand.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Proving Russell Brand's point.
Exactly.
Okay. Steve in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Yes, good morning. Hi, how are you?
Hi, go ahead.
Listen, I'm a first-time caller, and I'm kind of really just
baffled about what's going on with the border and also what's going on in the Congress.
Okay.
They in both sides, the Senate and the House, they changed their appropriation bills not to really focus on the children. Because this whole issue, no matter how it's spun, it comes back to about the children. The House made it about border security. Our border with Mexico is nearly 2,000 miles.
Right.
I know years ago they started building walls in parts of Arizona, California, Utah. They stopped because it wasn't feasible. You're never going to secure that border.
Right.
The key is to deal with the immigration problem.
Right. Well, that's why. Here. Right. That's why Harry Reid. I don't like. Oh, you know what John Boehner called it? Nutso. The idea.
Nutso.
That they might try to actually pass an entire
yeah.
comprehensive immigration reform, which would actually, you know,
yeah.
there's, solve a lot of yeah. the problems rather yeah. than...
They're staying there today to try and get something done on the border.
Oh, I'm very yeah. optimistic.
They extended their vacation
by a day. Oh, my God. How can we ever thank you?
But they're not going to get anything done.
Boehner said Thursday he isn't going to let immigration reform become part of the effort to address the current border crisis. No, that'd be crazy. That'd be crazy. regardless of what Harry Reid threatens to do, Boehner said instead of addressing the crisis at hand, Senate Democrats are talking up some nutso scheme. Some nutso scheme? Oh, you mean it was originally the McCain-Kennedy
right.
Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill? Nutso. Some nutso scam. To jam through the Senate immigration bill, even though they know it will never happen. I'll say it one more time. The House will not take up the Senate immigration reform bill or accept it back from the Senate in any fashion, including in this border bill. So there. Okay. Nancy Pelosi on the border bill.
The Democrats are not going to enable that bill to pass. They're going to have to do that on their own, even though some of their right-wing groups are against the bill because it's not bad enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not quite mean enough.
Exactly.
Right. The Boehner.
In my view, doing something is better than doing nothing.
Mm.
The crisis on the border is going to continue until the president acts, but he's clearly not going to act. That means the Congress has to act.
Someone.
Why won't he act on his own?
Someone tweeted a picture of John Boehner sucking on the teats of Ted Cruz. It's kind of gross.
Ew.
It's really gross.
Ew.
But that's exactly what happened.
Boy.
Yeah.
What kind of idiot would allow something like this to get derailed? Okay, John Boehner.
The president, the White House, have abandoned all pretense of governing. They once called for changing the 2008 law a bipartisan priority. Now they oppose it and call it partisan.
Funny that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Representative Peter King.
Yeah, it's our job. It's our job to get it done. You can't run and hide.
Well, that's right.
All right.
That's right.
Nowhere to run.
Martha, tell the other Vandellas there's nowhere to run. Let's get this done. Let's get her done. Let's go.
By the way, I just retweeted that picture of Boehner sucking on Ted Cruz's teeth from your account at SM Show.
Okay. Michael in Bronx, in the Bronx. Hello, Michael.
Hey. Sexy liberal mama.
Yes, no. Go ahead.
Yeah, baby. You know, if I was a doctor, I would diagnose all these Republicans as having a serious case of constipation because they are all so full of, you know what, I cannot say the word on the air.
Right.
They
Thank
talk
you.
About impeaching and suing the president. If there's any impeachment, it's on their own. Let me give one clear example. When Bush was in office and issuing all these crazy executive orders doing bad to the nation, they called Bush a man of action.
He was the decider guy, remember? I'm the decider.
I'm the decider. Yeah, but then now Obama, who's clearly using executive orders because Congress don't want to get off their ass and do things for the people, oh, now he's using executive privilege. You know, Republicans, executive privilege this. You know what I'm saying?
There's nothing better than a Bronx accent with that. Yeah, remember what else he decided? No, Hamas, just go ahead, have your election. You're not going to let Hamas do it. I'm the decider, be decider. Oops. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ari, what are you currently obsessed with? What's happening? There's a text chain from
There's
someone.
A text chain of someone who took shrooms at Comic-Con.
All right.
They work
so
in,
it's somebody that's already went to Comic-Con.
Yes, they work in Gaza. They work in cat's buttholes into it. It's very funny.
All right. In other party news, someone poured a beer on a tiger at a drunken, rowdy London zoo party. Ugh. What is this about, people? This is the final The World's Gone Mad story.
Mm-hmm. At least we know the beer was
people
warm.
People doing shrooms at Comic-Con, texting willy-nilly, pouring beer on a tiger, really? You don't tug on Superman's cape.
No.
And you don't
pour beer
spit
on a
into
tiger.
The wind, and you don't pour beer on a tiger. The London Zoo is being investigated after allegations of drunken, lucrative after-hours parties.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of bank on these parties, I guess.
A lot of filthy lucre.
Are putting the animal's welfare in danger. Hammered, sometimes naked guests have repeatedly tried to enter animal enclosures, and in one case, a beer was thrown over a tiger. The council will decide whether serving alcohol at the parties, which draw upward of 6,000 people a night, is such a good idea after a man stripped and tried to go swimming in the penguin pool and a drunk woman allegedly tried to break into the lion exhibit. Okay. Zoolates, I guess it's called, are they primarily attended by young, wealthy drinkers, The Guardian reported. Although the music takes the form of silent disco, with guests listening via headphones, people constantly sing loudly while the animals are trying to sleep. That is really wrong on so many levels. The lion sleeps tonight, and what are you doing? You're singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Right.
So the lion cannot sleep, ironically.
Because he keeps hearing, a whim away, a whim away.
Right.
Okay. Sheesh.
Let's go to Henry in Long Island. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I was talking the screener that, you know, the solution to many of the problems that happen in the world is just something, although it seems simple, it's education. It seems that with this Middle Eastern problem, every time you hear the talking points from the pro-Israel side, it's like critiquing a movie from the middle of it. It always starts in 1948.
Right.
Everything started in 1948. Nobody's willing to go back to 1920s, to the Balfour Declaration, the Sykes-Picot Agreement that made the whole land a mess. And what happens is that the people that got screwed in the deal, which I obviously we know who they are, they have no representation. So they become prime target for these Hamas nut jobs because it seems.
Yeah.
That is the only solution.
Well, and that's the sadness, and it's just creating whole new generations of people that are going to continue to hate each other. And we were saying that yesterday. We've all been in that argument with usually a significant other, where then you really have no idea what the argument started over.
Oh, of course.
Wouldn't that be nice if it just ended like that? If they just what were we? All right, I don't remember. I remember what this was about.
It's not going to end that way.
No?
No. Sorry.
You know, you just get tired. You just tuckered out. You're like, I don't remember why we're fighting. Okay, you want to stop? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes. Let's just do it.
As he was telling the screener.
Oh, yes. Maybe it's time to review that.
In the history of radio, since the days of Marconi, listeners have called radio stations and have had conversations with a so-called screener who instructs prospective callers on the proper etiquette when calling a radio station. No foul language, no ethnic slurs, but most importantly, do not ever, ever say the following, as I was telling your screener.
Yeah.
The radio host already knows that the so-called screener has been engaged in conversation with the prospective caller. It is assumed that the listener has, quote, told the screener something, that something being the information to be relayed to the radio host on the air. It is assumed that the listener would have the common sense to assume that the host is aware that the screener has had a conversation with the listener, presumably about what the listener was about to convey to the host, and that the whole thing has been a huge waste of time, and that you can't spell assume without ass, and furthermore, I hate you and your ass face.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Yeah. This is my last nerve. Everybody's working it today.
Yeah.
And besides, the screener's got more important things to do, and that is find us a, shroom-related text from Comic-Con. Okay, where was I?
Oh, don't get him started. He saw Guardians of the Galaxy last night, which is the next big summer movie, and don't get him started on that.
All right.
There's something about
Mumbles,
a talking...
Or as we call him, Mumbles the Mega Geek? I just made that up.
There's something about a talking raccoon in that movie. And I'm like, okay, I already tuned out. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
All right. So the ceasefire, by the way, has fallen apart, both on our show and in the Middle East. They agreed to a 72-hour humanitarian ceasefire. The announcement came hours after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to destroy Hamas tunnel network with or without a ceasefire, and as the Palestinian death toll soared past 1,400. I believe we have Benjamin Netanyahu, who said this yesterday.
I won't agree to any proposal that will not enable the Israeli military to finish this important task for the sake of Israel's security.
So, yeah, they continued destroying the tunnels this morning, even though it's during a ceasefire.
Well, they said that most of the 32 tunnels that they have uncovered have now been demolished, and that getting rid of the remainder would take no more than a few days. The UN Undersecretary General had this to say.
Each party must be held accountable to international standards, not the standards of the other party. We have all watched in horror the desperation of children, of civilians, as they have come under attack, with no safe place to go.
She accused both Israel and Hamas of violating the rules of war. She said Hamas is violating international humanitarian law by locating rockets within schools and hospitals or even launching those rockets from densely populated areas. But she added this does not absolve Israel from disregarding the same law. The Israeli government, she said, has defied international law by attacking civilian areas of Gaza, such as schools, hospitals, homes, and UN facilities. None of this appears to be accidental, she said. And again, I'm sure, like me, she probably has been called a Zionist puppet and
absolutely
a Hamas terror sympathizer already. Okay.
Although the UN has historically leaned towards Palestine.
Yes, yeah, I understand. Yeah. Okay. Glenn in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Glenn.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
My favorite show. Listen to you every day as much as I can.
Thank you.
In fairness, I have to say that I am Jewish, but I attempt to empathize with the Palestinian plight. But one of the things that upsets me to no end, and I've not heard an explanation of, is this frustration and condemnation by the UN and the world community about the disproportionality in casualties. It's not as if the other side, Hamas, is not trying to kill as many people as it possibly can. They're just not as good at it. So, I mean, if the numbers were reversed, would the outrage be there? Just explain to me why, or not you, but
right.
I wish the world community would explain to me why you're going to hold one side accountable, the other. They're both attempting to do the exact same thing to each other. So,
Well, I mean, I think in this latest thing, what she was referring to is the UN said they gave them the coordinates of this UN school 17 times, the Israeli military, and then Israel will say that's where they were fired, their soldiers were fired upon from. But it's just, the whole thing, it's just, you can't say it enough.
Yeah.
It's just a
And there's
mess,
a lot of he said,
giant,
she said.
Horrible mess. All right, hey, you know what? I apologize. Did I say the Congress has gotten nothing done? Oh, except for suing the president with your taxpayer money.
Right.
But they didn't get anything done on the border. But they are nice enough to extend their vacation for
a day.
A day, which, really, what more can we ask? Guess what they are doing, though? The House Intelligence Committee voted yesterday to declassify the investigative Benghazi report, a move that will likely further undercut the premise behind the House's $3.3 million Benghazi Select Committee. So they are also using your tax money to investigate Benghazi.
Right.
Again.
Yeah.
When it is released, the report will mark the fourth major probe of Benghazi. None of the reports have found any wrongdoing or hints of conspiracy that the recently created House Benghazi Select Committee is tasked with unmasking. You know, that's the Trey Gowdy show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the House Armed Services Committee found the military did all it could to intervene. It also discredited the claim that somebody ordered the military forces to stand down. The State Department's legally mandated accountability review board investigation came to similar conclusions, led by Ambassador Tom Pickering and Admiral Michael Mullen. That would be a former Reagan and Bush administration official. A Senate Intelligence Committee review achieved similar results. One member of both the House Intelligence Committee and the Benghazi panel said it will be very much in line with the previous reports. Sure. Representative Elijah Cummings, top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, noted that the new report would be the latest to show the exact opposite of what Boehner said the Select Committee would prove. Here you are, your tax dollars at work. That and suing the president. Don't we all feel better now?
Oh, they got the VA bill done.
CJ in Texas.
Sorry.
Good morning, Stephanie.
That they had to do.
They had to. Yeah. Because if they didn't, then everybody would rise up.
CJ in Texas, hello.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
I get so excited when I talk to you.
Oh.
I don't know whether it's being on the air or just looking at you.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder where in the law it gives the right for one branch of government to sue another branch of government.
Oh, well, we don't know because it's never happened before.
That's what I thought. I'm 71 years old, and I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know where. Now, what they could do is try to impeach him on that, but they don't want to do that. They don't want to bring that up now.
Yeah, because then they look crazy.
And, back in Congress.
Right, they look crazy.
If they try impeachment, they'll get the Democrats riled up. So, all right.
I like he's chuckly.
Yeah, this lawsuit will get Democrats interested in tort reform.
Okay, 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I can feel people all at Twitter with excitement. May Lee on her way in.
I know, right?
Journalist May Lee.
Yay.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's do a little tech talk for a moment. Marsha in Tacoma. Isn't there tech talk music? My cousin and I have been to two sexy liberal tours in Seattle. Love them. We miss our AM liberal radio, but I have stalked you. Finally found you on both freespeech.org and MySiriusXM. There are many ways to get the Stephanie Miller. Why am I talking about myself?
And you're pointing at your boobs.
No, I'm pointing at all of me.
Okay.
So because we have had, you know me, I'm the biggest technophobe in the world, so we haven't talked about it because I don't know what the hell was going on, but we got hacked.
We did.
And I'm not a conspiracy theorist on the show, but I'm just saying.
Well, from what I understand, we got hacked a long time ago, but it was a dormant hacking. And so when we moved moved all of our website over to new servers, it reconstituted that code and blew it up.
Right. So a lot of people have been having a lot of podcast problems.
Exactly.
And we are working on it, trying to fix it. There is a support page up at StephanieMiller.com.
Yes, StephanieMiller.com/support.
Yes. And I think that a lot of people's, the problems are becoming resolved, but we apologize. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of stuff happening simultaneously.
Right.
And I'm going to say it's some insidious right-wing asshat hacked our site at some point.
Probably.
And then the other thing,
it might have been Laura Ingram. Who can say?
Gene in Willits, California says, why aren't you talking about what's happening with your app? And this is the Stephanie Miller app. See, this is why I can't talk about tech stuff. So when we moved the website, in order to whatever it is we'd have to do to the app, it costs a lot of money. We don't have it right now.
Right.
So
exactly.
Anyway, you can still get the Stephanie Miller podcast. Explain how.
Yes. By the way, the Stephanie Miller app is going away. So it behooves you to move your podcast over to like iTunes or something like that. If you subscribe in iTunes, it downloads it every day into the podcast app that you get for your iPhone.
Okay.
or into your iPod if you still have one of the classic iPods.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that all we need to explain?
Well, yeah. Just go to just go to stephaniemiller.com/support, and it will show you how to move everything over. But okay. You might want to do that if you're listening to the podcast through the Stephanie Miller app, because that is going away.
Okay. And a lot of people obviously listen live. You can do the TuneIn app and listen on progressivevoices.com or any of our fine stations.
And you can also
on the iHeartRadio app.
And you can also find us streaming on Stitcher.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rick in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'm a Jew watching you on Roku.
That might be the best line of the day. Thank you,
sir.
Oh, I try. And secondly, I'm so old, I voted for your father the first time I ever voted.
Yikes.
And I went to Vietnam, and I learned what was right.
Good.
Wow.
Thank you, Rick. Wow. Thank you for your service.
In any event, the reason I'm calling is, you know, with what's going on in the Ukraine right now, we all know that Mr. Putin is the bad guy because he's supplying the goods and the money to the separatists, and of course the other side, not so hot either. In Israel and Palestine now at the border, we all are talking, and you guys are getting yelled at about being pro-Palestine or pro-Israel. Right. Why aren't we talking about who's the bad guy who's giving the money and giving the rockets so that all this is happening? Why can't they be taken out or stopped?
Meaning who?
Well, that's what I mean, meaning who? No one. With Yeltsin, we all know that he supplied the missile that probably shot down that plane. But when we talk about Israel and Palestine and the rockets, why isn't anybody saying where those rockets are coming from and who's paying for them? And let those people catch it. No one's talking about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and that's the other point. You hear people saying that, you know, Hamas isn't spending the money on schools and hospitals and whatever. They're spending them on tunnels and, you know, just the cement used in those tunnels.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back here in our own chaos, no more gun violence in America.
Oh, are you talking about the Chicago story? Oh, my God.
An executive apparently despondent over his recent demotion, shot his boss and before taking his own life. They had recently undergone downsizing. Some employees had been demoted. One of the employees came in and demanded a one-on-one meeting with the CEO, and during the meeting pulled out a gun.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, and he is...
You would think they would have security in... Because I was in the Bank of America building in Chicago.
You had to take a huge pay cut. You're not armed, are you? It's not a demotion, technically.
I've got guns.
You bring your gun. I let you bring your guns to work. How about here? Oh, this is another good guy with a gun. You know, because everything can be solved by a good guy with a gun, as you know.
Sure, yeah.
Cop loses robber after good guy with a gun tries to help, shoots wildly toward him. A man with a concealed carry permit thought he could help when he observed a foot chase between a police officer and a suspected armed robber. The man began opening fire at the robber, but bullets flew everywhere, prompting the officer to break off the chase and dive for cover. Thanks, good guy with a gun. Nicely done, sir. And the guy got away, because you see, good guy with a gun. Untrained good guy with a gun. See how that always works out really well. Tom in New Mexico. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Hi, good.
I heard something the other day about a possible solution to the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians that I'd never heard before. And it goes like this, that the Palestinians, both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, say, you know what, Israel, you win. We don't want our own state. We want to be full citizens of the state of Israel and see what Israel does then.
All right. Well, that I'll put that on the list of things that will never happen, but sounds good in theory.
If they say no to something like that, it kind of proves that there might be some apartheid going on.
Right. Do you know, pretty much everyone over a drink anywhere has solved the Israeli-Palestinian crisis. 29 minutes after the hour. Really good news about the Affordable Care Act next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I wouldn't want no policeman to catch me without no petticoat.
No policeman? How about a nice fireman, huh?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Representative Pete Sessions, mm-hmm. Republican of Texas, said this about Obamacare.
We already understand the President of the United States is not faithfully executing the laws of the United States, and in particular related to the resolution, and that is the Affordable Care Act.
Right. By delaying the mandate, we asked him to delay, and then he did it, and ha-ha, now we're suing him. Meanwhile, back in the real world, where the Affordable Care Act is actually helping people.
Yes.
Anthony Wright, first of all, he needs no other title than friend of Jackie Schechner.
Exactly.
That just gets you right in the door. But he also has a fancy title. He's executive director for Health Access California. He joins us now with some good news. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, actually, you're here for two reasons. You are a friend of Jackie Schechner, and you have a turtle named Tortuga.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll take any credential I can get.
But you have some really good news about insurance rates out here in California, which I think is going to be a template for the rest of the country. Tell us what's happening.
Well, I mean, California continues to be a leader in implementing the Affordable Care Act. It's one of the states which has a really acute problem with here in Los Angeles. We're ground zero for the crisis of the uninsured. Studies in the last week have shown that, in fact, we've reduced the number of uninsured in California by half in the first enrollment period. Over 3.4 million Californians have newly gotten coverage in just this last year as a result of the reforms of the Affordable Care Act. And then yesterday was the announcement of the 2015 rate in the new exchange covered California.
Right.
And the rate increases for next year will be about 4.2%. On average. And for folks who remember that those rate increases have been in basically double digits year after year for decades.
Right.
Right, before the Affordable Care Act. And some people are going to see no rate increase at all, I'm reading, and some will see rates actually go down, right?
Right, about 16% will see no increase or a decrease. About 33% will see 1 to 3% increase. There will be some people who have, but very few people will see anything in the double digits.
Wow. And you know, we can, I'm sure someone on TV tonight will put all the clips together of all the Republicans saying rates are going to skyrocket, right? Everywhere,
right,
because of the Affordable Care Act.
Last year when Covered California's rates came out, the critics said that Covered California was lowballing, that this was just a one-year thing, that they were going to skyrocket in year two. And so this is a good trend. There's a lot more to do. You know, let's be clear. Health insurance is still not cheap and not easy, but it's now cheaper and easier than it would be. And we can't ignore good news.
And you were quoted yesterday as saying this is a rebuke to all the Obamacare naysayers and haters and political opponents who predicted double-digit rate increases. I mean, the president just said yesterday, stop hating. Just stop, you know.
Stop hating, exactly.
Right.
Well, I think we, in a state which wants it to work, which is has its political leadership aligned to say this is really important for California, we have a real problem with regard to uninsurance, with regard to rapidly rising health care rates, let's take advantage of these new tools. It's working. Other states where it's not working as well, but California shows that progress is possible if you let it work. And that's
you were quoted yesterday saying those who continue to campaign for the repeal of the ACA in this state or anywhere in the nation are increasingly having to deny the facts on the ground, which is what we all predicted. Here in California, Obamacare is not just workable, it is working. You say now we see not only the number of uninsured being cut in half, but the premium rate increases have been cut in half as well, you know, thanks to a lot of the work that people like you are doing. And I love the other thing you said. These results are an endorsement of the need for more reform, not less. Jackie said this to us yesterday, Anthony, because someone called and said, do you think Obamacare, for whatever political reasons, is going to go away? And she said no. I mean, it's going to be hard to take all this away from people, don't you think?
Right. Well, if there's 3.4 million people just in California that have new coverage as a result, and anybody who's trying to repeal it is trying to take away that coverage for literally millions of just of Californians, and certainly many more millions of Americans. I think that would be a hard thing to do. I do. It's not that there aren't issues to address. You know, one of the issues that people have had, and I know Jackie has talked about, is what is access. What is your access to doctors in some of these plans?
Mm-hmm.
There have been some new reforms, and we have bills pending in the state legislature to help improve that situation. So there is more to do. But there's some who say, let's repeal. There's others like the insurers who actually are just arguing against anything more. They say the problem solved, and let's just keep everything that the ACA has and nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they were fighting the ACA all the way through, but now that it's the law, they don't want changes. They don't want changes, but they don't want any additional reforms. We think that this shows proof of concept that this stuff is working, but we need to continue the momentum because...
Yeah, and I think it'll put pressure on the states where it is not working because it just, it is interesting that... I think it's becoming, we talk about marriage equality a lot on the show as well. It becomes this patchwork of, different rules in different states. And I think that obviously the move is toward progress. And I think, thanks to people like you, California's leading in that. I see here in your that you were actually a community organizer, which I know is a code for Muslim Kenyan. But you've been doing this a long time, consumer advocating and community organizing, right?
Yeah, I mean, and especially on healthcare issues. I mean, there's frankly lots of people who have been working on the issue of healthcare and health reform for decades in this country. And so it is gratifying to finally come to a place where we're not making incremental change, but these broad, remarkable steps forward with regard to millions of people insured, finally getting a handle on healthcare costs at least. Initially, with more to do.
In all your years of work, did you ever think you would see the United States Congress sue the president for not implementing the Affordable Care Act quickly enough?
There is some great irony in all of this. Starting from the fact that the ACA has many of the Republicans' own ideas. I mean, we remember when a very similar structure to the Affordable Care Act was proposed not just by the Republican governor of Massachusetts, but also by the Republican governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, and yeah. Heritage Foundation, Bob Dole. I mean, absolutely. We are just at a really, I would say distressing point in our history, I think, in terms of working on these issues. But, Anthony, we appreciate all your work on this issue and taking time to talk to us about the good news on rates out here.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate the continued focus on this. There is more that we can and should do, and that's the example of California, is that not only did we implement the Affordable Care Act, but we improved upon it. We have an exchange that can actually negotiate for the best rates. We have that standardized benefits so that people can do apples-to-apples comparisons, and that's the thing that we hope that other states can adopt once they – we get past the sort of the partisan war over this issue.
Yep, absolutely. They're always jealous of us out here in California anyway. Anthony, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
All righty, there he goes. Anthony Wright, he's friend of Jackie Schechner.
That's right.
Executive director.
And turtle owner? Is that what you said?
Yes, he owns I just found that an interesting fun fact in his resume. A turtle named Tortuga. Oh, and two cats named Patience and Fortitude.
Oh, he's a cat dude.
All right. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kevin. Did I do that correctly? Perhaps I did not.
No, you did not.
Let's go to Kevin in North Carolina.
Oh, there you go.
Any Kevin will do. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Go ahead.
I was calling about that gentleman that suggested that why don't the Palestinians and become one state with the Israel? And one of the main reasons they don't do that is because they're afraid of losing their Jewish majority and not being a Jewish state anymore.
Ah.
So that's the main reason, because I had thought of that too, but that's one of the main reasons you hear about why they don't do that, amongst
yeah.
others.
Yeah, I think the real solution to the Middle East crisis is it's scribbled somewhere on a cocktail napkin somebody forgot to take with them. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone has solved it.
Right.
over drinks at some point, and then somebody forgot the napkin where they had diagrammed it out.
I'm just talking out loud here.
I urge you not to do that.
Okay.
On the Middle East.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, wasn't South Africa's reason for not getting rid of apartheid for so long because they didn't want to lose the white majority?
Yes. All right. You know who the real bastard person
in the
Middle East is?
Should I have not said anything?
The producers of Big Brother Israel are the real bastard people in this whole situation.
Yeah.
They have refused to delay production despite fears of escalating violence. The reality show, Big Brother Israel, will continue production.
All right.
Because apparently they get their best ratings, and they've decided to keep the show running. To make sure the contestants are protected, alarms have been installed in the property, and housemates run into a bomb shelter when the fighting gets particularly dangerous. They should have that on the Kardashians, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems a little crass.
Maybe she on the Kardashians, they should blow the siren. All the Kardashians run into a bomb shelter, and then we lock it.
Oh, with Kim's ass? They're not going to fit in there. That'd have to be a big shelter. Yes, I did. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller is... Who is a babe, by the way? I must point this out.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You know, someone tweeted they are correct. Did you ever notice there were no Sharknadoes until President Obama was elected?
That's true.
Thanks, Obama. Okay. I didn't think I would live this long to see the longest-serving 88-year-old member of Congress tweet about Sharknado 2.
Yes, he did.
John Dingell?
Yep.
He just tweeted, so it's a tornado full of sharks? That's what the entire film is about?
Pretty much.
That's yes.
Yes, not the Middle East is not the sign of the rapture.
Sharknado 2.
Sharknado 2 is a sign of the rapture. Okay, let's go to, where is a blah, 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 Joe in Chicago. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make two comments of time, one about Benghazi and my two shekels about the Middle East.
Your what?
Two Benghazi shekels. Okay,
right, go ahead.
The Benghazi issue is very irritating because, once again, it shows the Democrats really don't do a great job of controlling the message, and they should respond to all the Benghazi investigations with a very strong statement that they learned a lot from the investigations, namely the Republicans are failures when it comes to national intelligence. They ignored and failed to prevent 9/11. They lied about intelligence to create a war in Iraq to profit the oil and the defense industries, and then they kidnapped and murdered and tortured people with little military intelligence. They should just make people associate Benghazi with the Republicans' failures of intelligence instead of fake stuff that the Republicans are trying to create.
By the way, the CIA thing reminded me of... Don't you love Bush administration flashbacks where you're like, yeah, those were bastard people? CIA employees improperly accessed computers used by the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein.
Yes.
That's right, as it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
To compile a report on the agency's now defunct detention and interrogation program, an internal CIA investigation has determined. The statement represented admission to charges by the panel's chairman, Senator Dianne Feinstein, that the CIA intruded into computers her staff used to compile the soon-to-be-released report on the agency's use of harsh interrogation methods on suspected terrorists in secret overseas prisons during the Bush administration.
That seems incredibly inappropriate.
Yeah, Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary.
Director Brennan has taken all the kinds of responsible steps to address this situation. He is somebody who has a very difficult job, who does that job extraordinarily well.
I hope Senator Feinstein had carbonite for her.
I certainly hope
staff.
She typed Stephanie in the box, and I'm sure she did. And I thank her. Okay, Kevin in D.C., there you are. Hey, Kev.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
If I may paraphrase an old saying, your melodious voice is a sound for sore ears.
Aw.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I must ask, you know, I've asked in the past, you speak jive or Republican jive?
Yes, I do speak jive. Thank you.
So, because
I speak jive.
Oh, good.
Exactly. So being that I don't run into that type, my head exploded yesterday. I heard Boehner and the Republicans almost insist on the president taking unilateral action on the refugee situation one day after officially voting to sue him
for taking unilateral action. Right. Mm-hmm.
So what? And when you say
I feel you, dog. I do.
and when you say this has to be racist, and they complain you're using a race card, but they've done unprecedented things. No other president has many filibusters. No other president, while addressing Congress, had someone scream out, "You lie," when they say it's only the fringe that we sing the Bertha thing. But when you ask Cantor or Boehner or McConnell to shut them down on it, they always said those Weasley words like, "Well, I take the president at his word that he was born here," stuff like
that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. By the way, would you like some impeachment fun facts?
They're
not so fun for Republicans.
All right.
Impeach the president, history not on GOP side. With midterms around the corner and Senate up for grabs, Republicans have a lot of chips on the table. The GOP needs public opinion on their side, and based on what happened last time, impeachment likely will not get them there, which is why I urge them to go for it.
Yeah.
When they impeached Clinton in December 1998, the American people did not side with Republicans, according to polls at the time. Almost 6 in 10, that's about 60% almost.
I've heard.
Said they were dissatisfied or even angry when the House voted to impeach Clinton, and 62% disapproved of how Senate Republicans handled the following trial, and only a third wanted the Senate to remove him after the...
The whole thing.
Or Jackie, as Jackie would say, job right on the air.
Thanks, Jackie. Oh, by the way, Eric Hanke tweeted that one reason that you might like Sharknado 2, Robert Hayes played a 747 pilot on there, which is kind of a wink to Airplane.
We love
which is
we
funny.
Love us, we love us some Airplane.
That's right.
Okay. Speaking of funny, Jared Polis, we've had him
police.
We've had him on. Representative of Colorado.
That's right.
He had some fun Wednesday poking fun at the stunning Representative Steve King
of
Iowa.
Stunning Steve King.
And his infamous comment that young undocumented immigrants have calves the size of cantaloupes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'd like to inquire as to what calves you inspected on your recent trip and exactly what you saw," police said to King.
Trolley McTrollerson. Oh, that's awesome.
He said, "I would also point out I did have the opportunity 2 weeks ago to go to the border. I did not see any calves that were in any way unusual." A tense-looking King responded the observation about young immigrants were largely unrelated to the amendment at hand, though they were part of the knowledge base he drew on while writing the legislation. Knowledge base meaning things comprised directly of things pulled from his ass.
Taken from his ass.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Speaking of Republican racists, hang on, I'm not done.
All right.
Virginia Republican official questions the contributions of Muslim Americans. He's treasurer of the Virginia Republican Party.
Okay. He's a big muckety-muck.
He's, right. He's very chatty on Facebook.
Oh, good.
I guess he was responding to President Obama made a mention of a Muslim holiday. Right, and he said, what's his name, Bob? Oh, Bob Fitzsimmons. He said, "It's one thing to be gracious on religious holidays, but this is pure nonsense. Exactly what part of our nation's fabric was woven by Muslims?"
Oh,
wow, they're not included in his melting pot.
I see.
Oh, this is not the first time, by the way, he's gotten into a little Facebook trouble.
Okay.
Just FYI. In November 2012, he posted that when Obama is 90 years old and he dies and goes to hell, he's going to say this is all Bush's fault.
That's neat.
In February 2014, he used the word sexist in a conversation about potential female Republican candidates for Congress. And it's a funny word for the female. I can't say what it's a funny word for the female,
Hoo-ha?
No. It's a, never mind. I don't know how else to say it without saying.
Dance around it. Come on.
Like if you didn't hear me and I said what?
Oh, the T word.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. See? I told you.
Drew in
Indiana. We could get that done.
All right. We got her done. Drew in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Drew.
Yes. Sharknado 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There you go.
What?
Yes.
Just when we thought it was safe to go back on the dance floor.
All right. Is that it? Is that all you got?
So let me get a couple things straight here.
Okay.
If you're a Republican and you raise money off of right-wing crazies who want to impeach the president, that's politics,
yep,
and bad leadership on Obama's part.
Yep.
But if you're a Democrat and you make money off of right-wing crazies trying to impeach the president, that's a scam.
Yep, exactly. Very good. Smartest point class today. Very good. Nicely done, sir. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Journalist May Lee next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, you know, it's family when they start bitching about your theme song and then they walk
you
in
before,
the door.
I did, right. Why do you have to start the hour with this, Chris?
Well, do you like this one better? Do you like this one better? Here you go.
Yeah, much better. Much better.
And may I just say, May Lee feeling a little competitive with Jackie Schechner wearing short shorts today.
Come on. Didn't realize that.
Show
well,
the people.
They're not really short shorts.
Oh, yes, they
are. Yeah, they
kind
of are.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I can compete with Jackie. So
we're having journalist pole dancing competitions. On
this is what my career has turned into. My God.
See, listen, we're just going to keep this going. No, Jackie was naked last week. Seriously. Watch our ratings just shoot through the roof.
Exactly.
All right. However, you, like family, also, we are not here to make you feel better because you were saying you're starting to worry that you're having some sort of, you know.
I'm serious. This is no laughing matter.
And Chris said you probably are.
Yeah. Absolutely no sympathy. I said I think I may be having like early onset.
Right.
You know,
Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's. Yeah. And instead of saying, oh, no, no, he's like.
It yeah, could, you know, yeah, people do get it that
we're
that
used
young.
To working with the show hypochondriac right. Jim Ward. So for like 20 years, we've been going, yes, Jim, you probably do have an ectopic pregnancy. Yes, I am certain you are having a stroke right now.
Yeah.
He used to blame you for playing the stroke PSA
yeah.
for causing his strokes.
Yeah.
He did. Oh, no, I'm not like that. I mean, but I'm being serious because I was telling you before we started
right.
that I'm going up to San Francisco next week to go see Beyonce and Jay-Z
right.
before
right.
they get divorced, of course.
Right, of course.
This could be historic, right? So,
right.
The reason why I'm going up to San Francisco is I bought the wrong damn tickets.
Oh.
Instead of buying the tickets
in your
for
excitement,
the Rose Bowl.
As a single lady, you...
Yes.
Right.
I couldn't wait to get these tickets, and I didn't even bother to see where...
Right.
The concert was.
So it was you, like a high school girl.
Yeah.
You were like, the minute the tickets
like,
came.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I realized after the fact that they were up.
That you actually were in San Francisco. Not the city that you live in. All the city lanes. All the city. Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay. Although hopefully that will not be your theme song for long if your mom, you know, has any luck with us finding you a Korean doctor to marry.
Whose fault is that was announced on the radio?
That, I'm going to say
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And has one even, like, come forward?
No.
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 Right.
A lot of guys pretending to be.
Yes, yes. That is true. That
right.
is true. Yeah.
All right. So. And we should clarify that... That is your mom's desire. Your,
right, not necessarily
your niche
mine.
Is a little wider.
It's a lot wider. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not working either, so I'm not sure what's going on.
So as your mother would say. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. All right. By the way, that has become the favorite catchphrase just because every story in the news is worse than the last one. The Middle East, our do-nothing Congress.
Ebola,
right,
yeah. planes falling out of the
I
sky.
I was just going to say, Ebola's back. I mean,
yeah.
Just when you stop, just everything old is new again.
And then extreme drought in California. I mean, it's just
right.
one thing. I've been saying this to people. In my 20-plus years as a journalist, I have actually never seen the news cycle move this quickly.
Right.
You know, so one thing
with
after
awful
another.
Stuff.
Yeah, with really awful stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's, for a serious moment here, I mean, it troubles me because I just am wondering what the hell is going on now in this world.
No, Michael Tomasky wrote a piece about, is it me or it seems worse? We've always had all of these problems, but it's worse.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got what's going on in Ukraine. You're like, okay, where's World War III starting now?
But this Ebola stuff, that's got me worried because they're flying the doctor back.
I'm glad I'm flying today.
And they're flying him into Atlanta and putting him into an Emory hospital or Emory University hospital isolation chamber.
I'm gonna be on that flight. You know me when I fly. I'm gonna be on a team of because I'm usually on Screaming Baby. Right. I'm gonna be on Ebola Airlines.
Yeah, bleeding out your ears, Airlines.
Oh,
right.
Did you hear what that one doctor?
Oh my God! You got to hear this story.
What happened?
Because you were. Every now and again, because this show is very, very lowbrow, you make it a little more highbrow, and you'll say something very deep and authentic and touching. It's very startling for most of us. But you said something last week about just being, we were talking about social media and just about being kinder to each other and what's happened to, See, I can't even remember it now. It was too highbrow.
There's no great, we've lost grace and compassion.
Right.
But we still have fart jokes.
Steph! Okay, go ahead. What is the story? Look, she's like cracking up over here, thinking it's hilarious. That
this is what I do for years. I torture May. This is what makes me happy.
Wait, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second because that just reminded me of something I thought of.
What?
I remember when we would have to tape over and over the same segments on Oxygen.
Yes.
So you would have to tell the same joke, and I would have to pretend I was laughing every single time.
You are a really good friend. Oh. A really good co-host. You're just a
torturous.
Really...
Torturous! I'd be like, oh, yeah, Steph. Like 5 times in a row. Oh,
we were on a bit of a budget, so we had to play the same tape pieces, so we would have to throw to the same tape piece
and tell the same joke.
And make the same suet bird feeder.
Yeah.
It was the basic cable version of Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
All right, sorry.
Anyway, you're right. This was really touching. The American doctor being treated for Ebola in Liberia has taken a slight turn for the worse overnight. An experimental serum to treat the virus arrived for the two infected Americans, but there was only enough for one person. So Dr. Kent Bradley, who noticed his Ebola has been quarantined himself last week, offered the dose to the other affected American, Dr. Nancy Wrightball. Both of them remain in stable but grave condition. Anyway, they said, however, Dr. Brantley received a unit of blood from a 14-year-old boy who had survived Ebola because of Dr. Brantley's care. So it's sort of like...
See, now that is a wonderful example of that grace and compassion I'm talking about that we're losing in this world. So that's beautiful.
And which of us, I hate to say, would make that choice? It's like, oh, only enough Ebola serum. See, we live in Hollywood where someone would kill someone else for a part. or in radio for a time slot.
That's true. And
really?
Isn't that sad? Yeah. What are we doing here?
No, you take the Ebola vaccine.
Didn't you? Weren't you accused of killing a Dr. Laura person on Diagnosis Murder?
Yes, I played the role of
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, and I killed the Dr. Laura character for her time slot.
That's right.
Oh,
I don't think I did.
You were accused of it.
Oh, you were suspected.
Because
you didn't do it.
Because you were the cutthroat backstabbing one at the station.
Right.
Yeah. You were red herring.
I was playing myself.
You were playing yourself. Exactly.
In fact, I would probably kill someone for the Ebola virus. I would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you tried to knock me off a couple of times.
Get some pub.
I would shove you in a wood chipper. And it would only take like a second because you're so small. For some reason, I've been on a Fargo tear lately. My friends, Rob and Trish and I. Who's your friend in the wood chipper? Trish told me about a new wine store. I said, is it reasonable? What it is, once you get on a Fargo tear, you...
Should watch that again. It's been years. Yeah.
The TV show was amazing.
Oh, was it? There was a TV show?
Yes, it was. It kind of had the DNA of the movie, but it was completely different characters, completely different story, and it was really, really good.
I must have been in Asia at that time. I do not
Billy
remember.
Billy Bob Thornton was in it.
Don't remember that show. Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just on, like, earlier this year.
Oh, earlier this year?
Yeah, to seek it out. It was on FX.
Richard can you guys do your programming notes at some other time?
Just recommending a show.
Okay, thank you. Richard in North Carolina, you're on with May.
Wow, that's killer. Yay, guys. First time caller watching you on Roku, even though I am not a Jew. I'm also a proud bisexual. I'll buy the food and the ticket to the show just for sex.
Wow.
There you go.
Awesome.
And anyway, I wanted to call a little and talk about the Palestinian thing. You had a caller earlier.
Oh, please. Go ahead. We need someone else to take this grapple.
Right. Well, I think it's important. We should discuss these kind of things. Although... one of your callers made a comment about how we should find out who's supplying these weapons. The real easy place to look is America, because we supply Israel countless weapons in other countries, Egypt, so on. And in a sense, as taxpayers, we're kind of responsible for a lot of this death and destruction. And I think that a lot of the things that get convoluted is it's all about, you know, religion and race, when I realize that it's mostly about resources, you know, gaining the land. That's really what it's all about.
But that's based on religion. I mean,
the core of it comes.
What I'm saying is religion and race is used as an excuse to gain land.
Yeah, yeah. We were saying, have you ever been with a significant other, you in an argument, and it's been going on so long that you just forget what it's about and you stop arguing? That's what I'm hoping for, a resolution to the Middle East. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, look, I think I've said this before. When you are talking about the fundamental beliefs of somebody's religion, and they do honestly believe that this was given to them by God,
yeah,
that this land is theirs because it's God-given, how do you argue that? You know, how do you convince somebody that that's actually not true?
Well, don't
ask, thousands of years, right, you've been lied to? No, I mean, that's going to be impossible.
Don't ask me. You know why? Because yesterday someone broke up with me, a listener, because why? Oh, because I was a Hamas terrorist sympathizer.
Yep.
And today we've gotten called Zionist puppets.
Yep.
Wow.
And two other people broke up. Oh, and also because a Jew signs our paychecks.
Yes.
Oh, somebody said that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. No, you can't. There's nothing you can say.
Yeah, no, it's volatile, and it will always be volatile, yep, and there will be... I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, a horrible person, but I think it's a very difficult argument to ever resolve,
yeah,
because it has been standing for thousands of years.
As someone that, you know, has had a drink or two with me, I'm just saying, don't you think somebody somewhere in the world has actually solved this crisis, and it's written on a cocktail napkin somewhere, and they left it? Because don't you think everybody has at some point in a drunken conversation talked
about
it? You
know how to do.
Yeah.
Yes. This is what they did out.
They would just do this. I don't draw on the napkin. And you know what I'm saying? Because every now and again, you do come up with a brilliant idea.
And you come up with the perfect partition.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Just scribble. That's right.
This is how it's going to work. Yeah.
I probably have done that, and then it's all like soaked in Chardonnay. Damn it. I had the perfect borders. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along with more Mei Li on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Are you losing your mind? What is this? What, you labeled my sound bites SM fun loving morally loose sound bites for Friday?
Morally loose.
I don't understand what that means. I don't. You're having a nervous break.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know
See?
Why?
He's
because that was
too.
That's the last SM drop that I'm going to play.
Oh.
I was copying and pasting. I think I overdid it with the copying and pasting.
You're
sorry.
You're drunk. All right.
See, you guys are all, we're all getting old.
And you're morally
senile.
Loose.
Senile.
Okay. So there you go.
Okay. Oh, look. Guess what? You know what it is. People always want what they can't have. Am I right? I have
yes.
a love letter. Someone that just broke up with me 2 days ago because I was a Hamas terrorist sympathizer. She's back.
That was quick.
Yes, Deborah. Stephanie, who am I kidding? Well, because now that I'm a Zionist puppet whose paycheck is signed by a Jew, now apparently she's back on my side.
Yeah.
Stephanie, who am I kidding? I can't quit you. You and I will go through our ups and downs, but I got your back. Please accept my apology for any stress I've caused, especially making the idiots on the right happy in any way, shape, or form. I'm back. Love you, Mama. I love you too, Deb.
That was a
Don't
nice
be so
letter.
Skittish from now on. Don't be so skittery.
But you're so easy. You're just taking her back just like that.
Just like that.
You big whore. Once a whore, always a whore.
She's fun-loving and morally loose.
Yep.
Have we ever sent a text to each other in our lives that does not contain the word whore?
Oh, no. I always start my text messages to you like that.
Right. Whore!
Right.
When we first started booking you, she forwarded a text exchange that you two had, and your name wasn't mentioned in it. And so Travis and I had to figure out
which whore? Which whore are we booking? She knows so many.
Yeah. Like, what the hell's going on?
But I'm the only person she lovingly calls a whore.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Actually, I'm such a whore, you're not the only one. Randy Rhodes and I, that was our slight, although with her it was the New York accent.
Hoa.
Hoa.
Hoa. Yeah. Oh, all right, right.
Yeah, which is totally different, and I'm totally not cheating on you at all.
All right.
I'm being a little whorish about my whoring.
You are.
A little bit. All right. A little bit.
Okay, Mark in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with May. Hello, Mark.
Hello, whores. How you doing?
Hello. Welcome to the Whore Fest.
Hey, no, I just wanted to bring up, I saw this morning Eric Cantor is stepping down early from his job.
Yes.
And he's going to force Virginia to hold two elections for his seat in November. He wants a special election.
Right, right.
The standard election. Talk about saving money.
Yeah.
Talk about fiscal conservatism. What is with these guys?
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I get, you're referring to the
right-wing hypocrites.
These are the small government deficit cutters that just spend how much money suing the president. And then what else did they get done? Oh, $3.3 million for the fifth Benghazi panel.
Mm.
And what else? Is that, do I have it covered?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, he is leaving early, Eric Cantor, and we want to say thanks. We'll miss you, bitch face.
Thanks for the douchiness of losing that last race. They put you in your place. You'll have to go to Montauk and put on your best bitch face. How schmucky, I want to tell you, you were.
Bye-bye. You are a giant schmuck. Bye-bye.
Oh,
bye-bye.
My gosh.
Bye-bye. I'm going to miss his warmth. Okay. Patience in Virginia, you're on with May. Hey, Patience.
Hey there.
Hi.
Thanks for everything you're doing today.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for your patience on the line.
Well, with a name like mine, what
right?
choice do I have?
Exactly. Okay.
Anyhow, I was calling because you were talking about the Ebola virus and the folks being brought back to the United
States. We were just trying to cheer people up after the Middle East discussion.
Yeah, I know. But I'd say, you know, people are so fearful right now. It'd be kind of nice if you didn't, like, make and afraid of flying and stuff because people are concerned.
No, I'm flying today, so, you know.
Yeah. Well,
just don't fly over Crimea.
Okay.
Don't fly over Crimea, but you know, Ebola really is very, very, very hard to spread, and of all of the places in the world these people are going to get good treatment, it'll be close to CDC down in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
right. Okay.
So just don't scare people.
All right. Well, I wouldn't be getting on a plane, would I, if I was trying to scare people? All right. Thank you, Patience. All right. She lost patience with me at the end, I think.
She kind of scolded you.
She kind of did, you naughty girl.
Mm. All right. By the way, we were talking last week about Malaysia Airlines. Did you see they're changing their name? I'm like, oh, that's tricky.
I didn't see that.
They're just going to have white out and just like spray paint something else. Not
what are they changing
Malaysia
it to?
Malaysia Airlines. Entirely different.
They're going to change it to not Malaysia Airlines.
Not Malaysia Airlines.
No, they are looking at changing their name.
That's tricky. No one will know.
You know, I feel bad for Malaysia, honestly, because they actually had a pretty good track record. You know?
And they're
before these two incidents, and, honestly.
And their business practices had absolutely nothing to do with this.
No, no. So it's not like they had crappy planes or crew or anything. I mean, they just had two really bad incidents in a row. Mm-hmm. It's horrible.
Right. Well, I think that not knowing where one is entirely is probably not good.
Well, right, but that's not Malaysia Airlines. That's air traffic control.
Right, right. Exactly.
But there's also, you know, dissension over whether they should have been flying over that, you know, section of...
I mean, some airlines chose not to
because
of the risk factors, but it still was a regulated area that they approved. So, you know, it's not like they did anything... illegal,
exactly,
wrong, and broke the rules of any
right.
kind. So
yeah.
Yeah.
This is true.
We just didn't know that they were going to shoot a missile that could reach 33,000 feet.
Yes.
You
know? Yeah,
who does that?
Yeah. Just well, they do. And they did, unfortunately.
What is wrong with you today?
What?
All right. 29.
Am I bad?
You're drunk, something. It's 29
Friday.
Minutes after the
hour.
Yeah, Friday. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So sure I'm going to regret this, but who was I with? The fun-loving and morally loose Miss
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, there it is.
That's all that.
Right.
There you go.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour, journalist extraordinaire May Lee, live in studio. Oh, here's some news, by the way. The U.S. just broke the record for longest stretch of private sector job growth. I'm sure that'll be all over Fox News tonight, won't it? Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks,
right.
Obama.
They'll
be leading with that, won't they?
Yes, of course they will.
That's good news, though.
Yeah, right? By the way, the mainstream media, this is why it always makes me insane, is like Chris Christie, his coverage was always so like, oh, he's so bold and
courageous.
Courageous. And outspoken. No, he's just rude pig, in my opinion.
He's from Jersey.
He's very Jersey. Yeah. And yeah. I don't know that that's going to go over well in Iowa, where he needs to win.
Yeah. But Politico had a piece about Christie, Dead Man Walking or Comeback Kid, and you know Charlie Pierce told us this mm-hmm. week he thinks that he's back.
Yeah.
I'm like, more than a few, the Politico writes, more than a few Republicans see Chris Christie as something akin to Bruce Willis's character in The Sixth Sense, the last man to realize he's no longer alive. Did I give it away? I'm so sorry.
Oh.
Rosebud the Sled. But as he heads to the Titanic sinks, he heads to New Hampshire.
Thanks.
Thursday for
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
Right.
Okay.
Stop giving it away to people who haven't seen it. Crikey.
The girl has a in crying game. Okay.
Anything else, Steph?
Nope. As he heads to New Hampshire for his second trip to one of the presidential states, top supporters, dozen aides, early state activists tell Politico in interviews they believe that he actually does have a political pulse. Among the factors they point to, I love this is how pathetic the party is now. No smoking gun has emerged in Bridgegate. No one has replaced him as the Earth's because they have nobody else, right? And a big chunk of the establishment remains dead set against Rand Paul. So I don't know. There's a strong current of thought in GOP circles that even absent the traffic scandal, though Christie will be too damaged by New Jersey's tattered economy. That's the other thing someone was saying. His record sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? And the broken pension system to return to the top tier. Wishful thinking or not, his backers say it's too early and the GOP feel too fluid. That's what they say when they have a sucky feel. It's just fluid. It's just fluid. To count Christie out. But this is what he does normally. Is he bullies people. And he made a big push to cut pensions. Did you see this for Jersey's public workers? A push that included a promise that from now on the state would do its part to keep the pension system funded after years of failing to meet its obligation. Now, as he says, the state once again can't contribute its share to the workers' pension fund, even though the workers are now contributing more and getting less.
Oh,
here's his
ouch.
Here's his Christie-esque explanation. Oh, he said, promises were made that can't be kept. Welcome to the real world, folks. Yes, promises were made by you.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice third person.
Right.
Promises were made.
Well, see, you remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was talking to, your friend who had visited. Dave? Was it Dave?
You are such a whore. You cannot even keep your men straight.
I can't remember. No, the sweet couple that came from Minnesota.
Yeah, Dave in Minneapolis.
Oh, Dave and his husband.
Look at how she accuses me so quickly.
Yes, I know. You just jumped right on the accusatory bandwagon.
She just threw me under the bus. You know, just like in 2 seconds.
Anytime I can jump on the whore bus.
Dang.
Sorry. I didn't know you meant on the show.
Okay.
Because you come over not on the show. I thought you meant when you were... Okay, never mind. So go ahead. What were you saying?
I have no idea what she's talking about. I was just going to say that we were having that discussion about how nobody wants to be accountable anymore. There's no sense of accountability. There's no sense of responsibility anymore in our society. You know, everybody just wants to pass the buck.
Yeah.
They want to take credit when they want
to. Well, it's not my fault.
Yeah, exactly.
See what I did there?
Yeah. This is exactly what he's doing. Mm-hmm. No sense of accountability.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I think people would be much happier if he just said, listen, I screwed up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. That would be bold and courageous.
Exactly. Yeah. What's so hard about that?
Bada-boom.
Oh. Right?
I screwed up. Bada-boom.
Yeah. Time for some traffic problems in full lead. Dan in Illinois, you're on with May. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I love your show. I'm listening to you on TuneIn radio app right now.
Thank you.
All right.
I just wanted to say, as far as like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I think the biggest thing and why it's such a hot topic is people aren't really talking about what constitutes an appropriate response. Everybody deserves a right to defend themselves, but you don't necessarily just have to immediately go to the most extreme response every time. You know, they're firing rockets. That's terrible. But does that really mean that you have to hit them with everything you've got in the arsenal first time out? So, I mean, that's to me the question is what's appropriate in the situation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the neocon way of doing things. And the Likud party, they're the neocons of Israel.
Mm. I'm not, you know what? I'm getting off the whole Palestinian-Israeli train. I've been called enough names for this week.
Lorian writes in and says, Dear Chris, please tell Stephanie to come down off the cross. People are being mean. Stop the presses. Meanwhile, in Gaza. Yeah, Stephanie, get down off the cross.
Somebody needs the wood. All right. Buddy in Columbus. God. Hello, buddy.
Hey, May Lee. You set my heart free. You make everything groovy. May Lee, I think I love you, but I want to know for sure. Come here and thank me one more time.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Wait, was he from Columbus?
Yes. Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, the place of my birth.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
I did
wow.
not.
Wait a minute.
You keep
Dayton.
Screwing it up.
Okay.
I grew up in Dayton, but I was born in Columbus.
Oh, if that's your story, I would stick to that. Go ahead. All right.
Columbus is a lovely city.
It is lovely. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Ohio State is there. And all.
Yeah,
you know.
Speaking
absolutely.
Of love.
And the very first Wendy's is there, too.
Exactly. Dave Thompson. He started Wendy's in Columbus.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you.
Yeah. There you go.
By the way, speaking of love, guess who really loves her drone?
Who?
Martha Stewart.
Her drone?
She has a drone?
She has a Time magazine op-ed entitled, Why I Love My Drone. Of course she has a drone. She's Martha Stewart.
She's Martha effing Stewart.
And it's probably really pretty.
Yeah.
Decorated.
Really well decorated. Yeah. She received the drone as a birthday gift, as you do. And described herself as hooked to its many applications, namely the ability for her drone to soar above her various mansions and holdings, including her 153-acre horse farm in Westchester, a 35,000-square-foot mansion in Maine, and a quaint shingled cottage in East Hampton. That's why you need a drone to survey your...
Wow.
Your
empire.
Right. She soon began posting drone selfies on her personal blog. And apparently got a phenomenal response from her fans. Okay.
Are those selfies better than those food pictures that she was taking? Remember when she was taking pictures of her food?
Oh, yes. And they were disgusting photos.
She was using, like, the wrong filters and whatever. And so everything had a tinge of yellow.
Yeah, and it just looked, like, all blobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
How long can it be before we get a drone, you know, pick? You know what I'm saying? Where she's a little liquored up. And hey!
Yeah, that could be a little dangerous, actually. Boy, but I didn't know she had that many homes, and, you know, she talk about a comeback.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. I'm sure she has a pied-à-terre in New York.
She has her little Orange is the New Black phase. And
totally. Now she's back.
Now she's totally out of the hole.
Bigger than ever.
Right? Mm-hmm. See? Every little girl can grow up to get out of the hole and own a drone.
That's right. That's right.
It's America.
Sure.
Okay. John in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I'm A. Lee. You're both looking lovely and radiant as usual.
Why, thank you.
I got two things. I a gentle admonishment for Chris and a comment. Which one do you want first?
Okay.
I'd
like the admonishment first, please.
Yeah. Okay, bring it.
Okay. Well, see, the thing of it is, I happen to be a fellow comic book geek, and I think he's awfully rash and hard on Travis, but I'll let
on Mr. Mumbles
slide. But,
okay.
I think it's kind of disingenuous that he wears all them T-shirts, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, you wear comic book T-shirts and you make fun of Travis. Okay. All right.
Okay, and my comment is I've been paying attention, and I've seen last week where one of your contributors was named an honorary lesbian. Now, I've been married 32 years, but I was thinking if I was single, I'd like to go to be a bar and be an honorary lesbian so I could ask the prettiest gal there if she was bi-curious, and then I'd take her home and Google sang her until her socks fell off.
Oh my God!
Okay.
Wait.
Look, it is 5 o'clock somewhere.
What?
It's Friday.
And Fugle sang her?
It's a reference to his John's oral sex.
What?
Material. Okay, anyway. Hey, May.
Oh, God.
Wow.
What is going on today?
I'm so glad my mother doesn't listen to the show.
Right?
And that's all he had for the admonishment for me?
Yeah, that was it. You're just
a hypocrite.
You're a comic hypocrite something. Okay. All right. I may have to do this later, by the way. What else was I accused? Oh, trying to scare people away from flying because of Ebola, even though I'm flying today. I wonder if I could pull this off. Kate Moss boarded a flight drunk without a ticket. Who can pull that off?
Wait, boarded? She actually boarded.
Right.
Wow.
Did they
catch her? In the airport bar.
Was this in London?
She was on a flight from Turkey to London without a ticket. Showed up at the airport intoxicated following a detox vacation.
Ah! I love it.
Guess that didn't take.
That's great.
That is a name. You know how I normally would not even try to pronounce that?
In Turkey?
It was the detox vacation at the Lifeco Gerturkerbuku.
Burger.
Everybody sounds drunk saying that.
I think you just had a stroke.
Anyway, she showed up appearing to forget her boarding pass. A lot of people on the flight tweeted, "Just got off my flight with a very drunk Kate Moss."
Oh.
She was barely very...
She was
very drunk
and
very chatty on the flight, apparently. It was
all right.
Drunken, chatty supermodel airline.
Didn't she go through rehab, you know, a few times? Yeah.
Right, so she was on her way back from
because
detox.
She was dating the lead singer of Baby Shambles.
Right.
Which Pete Doherty.
We just always thought that was weird
Baby
and random.
Shambles.
We just like saying that.
Was this in Turkey?
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
You know what? We are just going to stumble drunkenly through the last segment, so I would not go away now.
I think you're both drunk for sure.
No, we're not.
I was out until 9:30 last night, and so I'm just
Oh, Captain Happy. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back.
Wow.
I'm such a bitch today.
Yes.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bitch.
Like Frisbee Golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I get it, because May is a tiger mom.
Yep.
I get it. Okay,
all right. Oh, I didn't even make that association.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. May Lee, journalist extraordinaire, live in studio. Oh, my God, you know how we were saying, first of all, Congress got nothing done, but they're going to delay their vacation by a day, so it's not like they're not working.
But you know they were bitching and moaning about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, they were whining.
Like,
and
what?
What?
I know.
Haven't we done enough?
Oh.
But you know how a lot of times they'll use the word arm twisting for, you know, congressional, like, wrangling over bills and arm twisting?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. They're doing actual arm twisting of, that is Republican Congressman Don Young of Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Look at, isn't that look like out of Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah.
He's like, quit it!
But a poor congressional staffer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Representative Don Young caught on camera manhandling a Republican congressional aide who was trying to prevent him from entering a closed meeting.
No way. Oh, so that's for real?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
So he twisted his arm, and there's a vine of it. And you could see the kid going,
ow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, do you watch House of Cards?
Yes, I love it. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
So, I mean, you know... That is an amazing drama, right?
Yeah,
but you
I
wonder,
love
wow, dude,
how much
that
of that is
really
real?
Happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, don't meet anyone in the subway station.
No kidding.
Okay.
There's a lot of treachery that goes on.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, great I said show. As I turned to camera. May, you speaking of cameras, you said you saw Planet of the Apes.
Oh, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. If you haven't seen it, seriously, run
it looks
and go
scary.
See it. No, it's not scary.
No, it's not.
It's not scary.
Okay.
It's wonderful. I mean, it's one of those movies where it makes me sit there and just say, this is why I love Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because movies like this are made, and you know, not the other crap. I mean, the 99% of the crap that's made. This movie was visually stunning, technically astounding. Then the story was brilliant. It just was.
Wow.
It was just a beautiful movie from beginning to end.
May goes from deep thoughts to the crisis in the Middle East to movie reviews.
I can do it all.
She can do it all. And she's wearing short shorts.
Well, aren't there references to what's going on today politically in...
Yeah, no. I think that's why it resonated, because it really was about... you know, the conflict that goes on for, you know, the smallest of reasons, but then it grows into a bigger conflict and to the point where it can't be resolved.
Right.
And so then
that doesn't seem real life in any way.
Yeah, and then it has to resort in war.
That's
forced.
Yeah.
It's not a choice. It's forced. And so, again, it was very profound in many ways, but the visual effects, those guys are brilliant.
Yeah. That's what, no, just the promos I've seen look
brilliant.
Amazing. Speaking of movie stars, we need a happy story. It's a love story. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt write handwritten love letters to each other.
Wow.
That would never work for me, because you've seen my handwriting.
Yeah, no.
Somebody would be like,
wouldn't
what?
Work for me.
You flirting to sling me? What? I have one friend that can't even text. That has trouble with their iPhone. So I literally will get things that say, fnam, fnam, and
thang. What is she, a sausage fingers?
I just texted her last night. I was like, what? Yeah.
And it's not an autocorrect problem.
No.
No.
No. It's just, well, it's people that are used to BlackBerries sometimes have a hard time with, you know. And the autocorrect is always wrong. Why do they call it autocorrect? They should call it auto-wrong.
They're going to be updating the autocorrect in this fall, and it's supposed to be a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I keep saying, no, I want to call Maylee a whore. Stop correcting me.
I guess in the update, if you start typing
it's
a word...
It's trying to make me more polite, and I do not want to
be. That's not going to work for you, sir.
In the update, if you start typing a word, it will have a list of words to complete it up there, so you can just hit on that word to complete it. It should be a lot faster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But doesn't it do that now?
It only suggests one word.
Oh, just one word.
Yeah,
right.
It's going to have a little list of
words. Oh,
yeah.
Some more complicated. Okay, that's good. Okay.
It's going to make it easier.
Yeah.
Kelly Osbourne, a little more celebrity stack. Kelly Osbourne sued by her landlord over dog poo.
Mm-hmm.
She has a landlord?
Yes.
Oh.
Kelly Osbourne has been accused of letting her dogs poop all over her apartment.
Oh.
She has taken legal action against her former West Hollywood landlord for keeping her security deposit.
Yeah.
Can we keep the security deposit for Congress? Because they have all over us and made a mess, and now they've
good
left.
Good point, Steph.
Thank you.
Yep. But wait, what? What? So she just left
the
poo.
That's what I specialize
at.
I make a cogent political point, and there's poo in it. With poo. With extra poo. Yes, she, for keeping her security, but when she moved out of the upmarket building she was in, she is now fired back and suing for damages to the property. He insists he was right to keep her nearly $20,000 deposit. That is a lot of dog poo.
Wow.
That's a lot of poo.
Wow. I'm surprised she's renting, though.
It might have been
temporarily
her house was getting repaired or something.
Oh, right.
Well, you don't want a dog of a house you own. You want to rent someplace that you can...
That's, I guess so. Terrible.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, notorious...
RBG.
Notorious RBG.
Mm-hmm.
Love her.
Yep.
She says she's channeling... what's her name? I'm telling you I'm not going. Who am I thinking of? Jennifer Hudson.
Mm.
Yes. She dismissed any idea she might step down from the bench. She said, all I can say is that I'm here and I'm likely to remain for a while, because some liberals have been saying, given her age, she should maybe step down.
Obama can appoint somebody else. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
can
I have some love music, please? I love her, though. So she was talking about the Hobby Lobby decision. Did you see this? Katie Couric asked her, do you believe that the five male justices truly understand the ramifications of their decision? Ginsburg said, I would have to say no. But the justices continue to think and change, so I'm ever hopeful that if the court has a blind spot today, its eyes will be open tomorrow. Contraceptive protection is something every woman must have access to control her own destiny. And then she analogized about the blind spot justices had. She was talking about Lily Ledbetter.
Yep.
Remember, the Supreme Court ruled against her, and then Congress fixed it, and that's one of her proudest achievements. She said, I said the ball is now in Congress's court to correct the error into which the court has fallen. Congress did it in record time. So they've already proposed the Not My Boss's Business Act.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But, of course, Senate Republican men have blocked that. Maybe they'll have another health hearing where only men get to testify on women's health.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it was a brilliant idea.
I may run for Congress just to have a hearing about balls where I don't invite any men to testify at all.
Yeah, can you imagine if we started talking about men's health and men's testicles and penises?
I think you and I should pitch a show, Balls, starring Balls. Stephanie Miller and Mindy.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Yeah. She said, I certainly respect the belief of the Hobby Lobby owners. On the other hand, they have no constitutional right to foist that belief on the hundreds and hundreds of women who work for them who don't share that belief. I've never seen the free exercise of religion cause interpreted in such a way. She explains the law. She used this great analogy. She said, a person has freedom to move his or her arms until it hits another fellow's nose. It's the same way with speech, same way with religion. You can exercise your right freely until the point where it is affecting other people who don't share your views.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great. I mean, how do you replace her? You can't
Let's
replace
just like cryogenically. Like,
you know what they have to do with Notorious RBG? They have to do a hologram when she goes, like Tupac. I think they should let her stay on the Supreme Court as a hologram. Like all the other big rappers.
Sure.
Or she should just become a vampire or something so she can just keep
sit up there and sparkle.
And on.
How can we follow you if we were so inclined?
May Lee Asia
on
Twitter.
We love you, May.
We love everyone here.
Thank you, May.
Thank you. See you next week.
All right. See you Monday.